tell you, you know, what's really weird is the fact that ADR got jumped. Oh, man, poor guy.
When I first heard the story, I thought, I bet he stabbed himself to get out of that booking. And I thought, wait, that's... Oh, no. I'm like, no, that's too insane. But, you know, I told you guys that Alberto Del Rio is Alberto Del Rio. So when I woke up and the Observer said that he didn't show up at the big AAA show, I'm like, of course he didn't show up. And then the next day, like, well, he said he got stabbed. And I'm like, of course you got stabbed, you know? Y'all get the counselor on deck for Paige. It's coming. She's going to need a counselor.
Oh, Lord.
She'll never get over it, too.
Well,
the best year of my life. And then he was gone.
Oh, youth. Oh,
right after that Psycho Clown match.
Oh, wow. Transgressions of youth, for sure.
Let me just say that Psycho Clown got a really, you know, he had a really great match, even though Alberto didn't show up.
Okay. Well, that's good. So we have that to talk about. We have so much to talk about. What's going on with TNA? The drama still continues. You know, I thought there were some interesting things that happened during the TNA shows over the past few weeks. Of course, WWE, this is the pre-show for No Mercy. No Mercy beaucoup.
No more pay-per-views.
I know, like starring The Miz and The Miz and Maurice, of course, you know, headlining that poster for No Mercy, brought to you by that No Mercy cologne for men. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to reserve my comments for later. Don't forget, Pro Wrestling Cast brought to you by good friends over there at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Hey, you're looking to bring the family over the Disney World or the Disneyland Park, or you're getting ready to hit over there the Orlando Universal Studios Resort. We have to do is go to our website. There are friends over there at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. And I say that because we try to go as many times as we can. And right now with Halloween Horror Nights and everything going on over there at the Universal Resort Orlando, things are going pretty well, other than the fact that the hurricane just kind of blew by.
I was going to ask you how everybody's, is everybody okay? How's Ryan Hurley? Or do we have an update on everything?
Yeah, I think Ryan's doing okay. You know, I got, you know, sent him a message checking in, and our correspondent Ryan Hurley seems to be doing okay. And his wife seems to be doing okay. So everything seems to be doing okay. And the guys, yeah, so everything is doing okay over there. Now there have been some, reports that the hurricane has taken human lives, but you know, so of course it's always unfortunate when you have such a strong hurricane go by. But having said that, you know, brighter days are ahead for Orlando. So yeah, as you're thinking about taking the family down, or you yourself participating in some better times ahead, hey, feel free, check out Kristen at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Also, you can also support our website and our show by checking out our Amazon links as well. Every time you you make a single purchase, or you order a bunch of stuff for the house or yourself, or you're going gift shopping, feel free to click our link at ProWrestlingCast.com, that banner for Amazon. They've been a day one supporter of our program. We appreciate that. Every single purchase you make, there's a little bit of tip into our tip jar, and we do appreciate that. So thank you for your support if you're already doing so. And if you're just checking out our show, feel free, like I said, support the show by going to ProWrestlingCast.com and click on our banners for Magical Journeys, Vacations, and for Amazon. And now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PW.
WC. That's 615-933-9792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Man, can you dig that, sucker?
Okay, this isn't news. Like the tier system, which is big news, right?
Okay, yeah.
But I saw a preview of a shoot interview with Cedric Alexander, and he said that after he had his match with Ibushi, he went backstage, and then Triple H told him to go back out and take a curtain call, and then when he went out the second time, that's when Triple H did his little thing, and then they edited it together. So that's what actually happened. Because that Triple H is a scoundrel.
The magic of editing.
But that he had that all in his head. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? I might have been born yesterday, but I stayed up all night. I know what he's up to. All right. I'm nobody's fool.
He's Daddy. Building the Triple H. He's building the Triple H brand.
Well, you've been saying it for a year straight that he's built this weird Ring of Honor Triple H thing because he knows the internet's everything. And by just taking on all internet fans, they have the lowest ratings they've ever had. And by not having those character type of guys like Sid Vicious or Ultimate Warrior or Night Stalker or whatever that aren't good wrestlers, but you know, you lose all of the outside fans that really make it all come together. The people, they go, man, I remember when Hulk Hogan did this. Or I remember when Junkyard Dog did that. So, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's there can be a mixture of those elements. Perfect example is someone who got themselves over, Daniel Bryan. You know, the perfect indie wrestling guy. And he struck a chord with the way he was booked with Kane. It was that combination that really took his persona and moved with Team Hell No and really moved it forward. And really made him the person, you know, the that crossover success between internet fandom and the mainstream media is really that pairing.
No, but he didn't, because he didn't raise ratings and he didn't sell a whole lot of merch like a number one guy would. Yeah, and he didn't raise house show business. Now, that being said, his mm-hmm. house show business was a lot better than Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. What? A complete failure the Shield is as a draw. Think of them individually. Mm-hmm. Ambrose, the failure. Just complete. I've never seen someone fail so bad at being champion, really. Rollins, great wrestler. A lot of injuries in his matches. Not a big draw. Reigns, what can you say about Reigns, the babyface push? God.
Well, can you liken – now, let's take with this one issue. The issue with Daniel Bryan – could we say that reason he wasn't as successful is because he was snake bitten with injury after injury, that if given the opportunity, that the booking would have been better, his character placement would have been better, giving him the opportunity to draw more, to sell more merchandise, to do this because of his lack of screen time during the time he was injured?
I think they would have liked to have had him killed, and just because he was that
Talk
much
about
of
dark cast. Holy smokes. Rearing its ugly head once again, Steven.
You're right. They've never killed anybody. Oh, wait. No, look, I really think he was a problem for them, a headache. It was like if Ricky Steamboat was getting big pops and Hulk Hogan was getting booed. That's what they saw. You know, Daniel Bryan, they got the Ricky Steamboat's awesome because Ricky Steamboat was so awesome, he made up the Ricky Steamboat spot, which is awesome technical wrestler, okay, that has the four-star match, okay, and that's an Intercontinental Champion, and that's what Daniel Bryan was, and then the tape traders and the hardcores sort of ended up becoming the internet smarks. So now, basically, you're in a world where WrestleMania 3 has 78,000 people, or 93, whatever, but Ricky Steamboat's the main event. And the ratings are lower and the house shows are lower. That's kind of what happened with Bryan. That's their philosophy. You know, they're like historians. They just watch history and they go, the big guy draws no matter what. That's why they call Roman Reigns the big guy, because he's literally the big guy for them. they say the big guy, so you'll know he's a big guy. If the big guy Roman Reigns was standing next to Ernie Ladd, you'd go, oh, look out behind you. That's a real big guy. But that being said, he's tall and slender and sexy. All the things that Pat Patterson and Vince McMahon see in a quality champion, you know.
Which is funny because he never takes off that stupid vest.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Conan, it is a stupid vest. I want to see him with his shirt off, guys. I'm just going to tell you right now. But for real.
The stupid vest.
It's the stupid vest. And also, you know, Disco Inferno on the Conan's podcast, which is, by the way, easily the best podcast to me now. It's not even close. The way they edit it and put stuff in and out, it's really clever. You know, they have a good editor, and Conan's great. But Disco Inferno said on this show this week, Reigns doesn't even act like someone who's a babyface. Cena gets booed when he comes out, but he kind of plays to him and gets him back. Reigns just comes out like a complete jerk.
Yeah.
See, I didn't say the A word just now. I remembered. But okay. He does. He comes like a complete, all right, and then they don't.
Stuck up. Yeah.
Donald Trump looking kind of attitude.
So, well, let's, this is interesting. I think maybe the problem, as we've said in the past, the ratings are in it such a huge decline because of their lack of creating the megastar or their search for the biggest megastar. And in that search for creating the biggest megastar, they have really shot themselves in the foot with the upper mid-card guys. And then now, creatively, so with booking and bad booking after bad booking, and we can see that they can try to move the needle in the right direction in terms of SmackDown, given that it's got a new time slot, new network, this, that, and the other. So things are coming up, but with the major show, with the same people at the helm, with depleting ratings, there needs to be a fundamental change in production and management and upper creative so that this show can change instead of doing what had been done over at TNA, which is floundering, right? On almost a parallel level, you could say that WWE is experiencing a lot of the pains that had that bit TNA. Would you not agree?
WWE, to me, it's different. It's similar. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. To me, WWE, everyone got too old. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be age discriminatory.
They're not willing to accept, you know, the
failure,
pop culture and failure.
I don't even know what pop culture is. What is pop culture? Twitter telling me to vote. You know, that's basically pop culture to me now. I don't even know what's going on, so I don't even worry about it. You know,
well, the trends of what people like and dislike in terms of their taste of either music or entertainment, TV shows, films, you know, art. And Vince McMahon has been known to say, well, WWE Network is all you need for all of your entertainment needs. You know, why do you need Freddie Prinze, as they talk about in a lot of these creative, you know, when you work for creative and you do a podcast, and they talk about how Vince McMahon looks over the shoulder of Freddie Prinze Jr. and seriously says to Freddie Prinze, why are you watching that, Richard? You know, why are you watching this comedy video? And Freddie Prinze goes, oh, well, I'm you know, getting inspiration. You know, this is really cool stuff. You should check it out. And then Vince turns him seriously and looks at Freddie Prinze and goes, well, you don't watch, you know, the replays of WWE. I mean, that's simply entertainment. That's all you need, pal, you know.
Well, there you go. A psychotic old man who's lost his touch, who's not just out of touch. You know, you're saying, what is pop culture? What's hip to pop culture? Not wrestling. You know, I was talking to a real hip kid the other day. He's in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I do a wrestling podcast. And he said, why would you do a podcast on wrestling? Nobody watches wrestling anymore. It's not cool anymore. And I can't even name the number one wrestler. And you know what? I said, did you ever watch wrestling? He started reeling off Goldberg, Shawn Michaels. He was a big Shawn Michaels mark. He talked about DX. He talked about Steve Austin eating the hot dogs. And I'm going to come back out in 2 hours after I eat a hot dog and somebody's getting their ass kicked. He knew all of it. He knew that Shawn Michaels was born again Christian and came back and was a better wrestler. And he couldn't care less about it. I tried to talk to him about Japanese wrestling. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, man, you're just unhip. Okay. So despite this personal attack, no, but despite, but I like to talk to people and really see where their head's at, you know, and wrestling is not hip is what I'm getting over and over.
Well, it just seems weird to me that in all of the unhipness that professional wrestling is, that so many people would follow them over social media and watch millions of times on YouTube, more so than the actual show itself.
Because we are bigger fans than we were ever before. You know, in wrestling, okay, now I'm going to really throw you off. Wrestling is better than it's ever been, almost.
True.
93, 94 to 97, All Japan and New Japan were awesome. Mexico with Conan was amazing. And then, you know, WWE, WCW were struggling, but they still had those great, you had Pillman and Austin, those great workers. And right now, you have these amazing workers in New Japan, Noah, the wacky crap of DDT, guys like Ibushi, Naito. You have all of the stuff still going on in Mexico, although it's not as big as it was. You still got three very strong promotions. You got a great foundation with WWE, even though they have bad writing. Then you have Ring of Honor and the Hardys, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. There's all kind of awesome stuff that we now have access to with the internet age. Mm-hmm. So it's all internet fans, and that does not equate to big ratings.
Mm-hmm. Because if the show sucks, they won't watch. That's the bottom line.
If your show sucks, prepare for me to watch YouTube clips.
Yeah. Well, sorry. That is also part and parcel of the generation we live in today. You're asking fans to sit through, okay, this week alone, you have 5 hours of TV with SmackDown and Raw, plus another 2 to 3 hours of a pay-per-view, you know, on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of time invested, you know, and to be quite honest, I don't have time to watch all that. And you're not even talking about NXT or any of the other stuff on the network or Ring of Honor, you know, New Japan, Lucha Underground. I mean, that is a ridiculous amount of wrestling per week. And I'm not complaining, you know, as a wrestling fan, I want to cover it all. My wife is sitting there next to me. She goes, you know, why are you watching all of this?
Can we turn this off?
I'm looking to cover it because I'm watching TNA. And she goes,
oh, my God. Honestly, poor thing. Is she okay?
Honestly, Al John, I don't see why you need to cover all of that.
Look,
you're absolutely right. There's a
lot. Did you make that poor girl watch that pay-per-view?
I did not. No, I didn't make her watch her. I didn't make her watch it. No.
Well, I mean, she's on a couch next to you. What is she going to do? She can go in the office and do stuff, but
Here's the God honest truth. Okay. Ready for this?
Yeah.
So I usually, you know, spend my entire day. I'm working and I'll spend time watching her shows with her.
Right.
And then when she goes off to bed, I'll turn on, you know, the wrestling show on the TV and try to watch it for as long as I can, and then watch segments of it on my phone while she watches shows that I'm not, you know, necessarily into. I'll watch it on my phone, you know,
okay,
or my tablet or whatever. So,
well, I will literally make Terry watch 4 hour long New Japan in Japanese. I don't watch the American announcing team.
You should learn some Japanese then.
4 hours of New Japan, and Terry knows more about Japanese wrestling than most of these smart marks. She knows that Naito is great. She knows that Tanahashi's been injured all year, but it's still awesome. She knows that Okada has 5-star matches. She knows who Mara Fuji is from Noah. She knows that when he kicks people in the head, it looks very violent. Okay? She knows that Shibata's is crazy and very violent. Okay? So I think you need to have Kristen watch 4 hour long wrestling shows that are in another language. And then she'll go, we can watch TNA for 10 or 15 minutes. That's certainly no problem. and then EC3 will come on, or Billy Corgan, and she'll go, you know what, let's just watch the Japanese stuff, actually.
Oh, I get it. It's cool. It's cool. Before we get into the wrestling news, I just wanted to put this in your head, everyone. I'm getting this from CageSideSeats.com. I love their section called This Day in Wrestling News. Kurt Angle's debut in TNA happened today, October 9th, as we recorded this.
It was a great debut.
It was a great debut.
His first feud was great, and the feud he did with Samoa Joe. I can't remember if it was his first feud. But I thought he was great at first. Slowly, as he started to deteriorate and have more DUIs, you know, I got more and more worried watching him, you know, and, you know, it's sad, really.
Yeah. Well, look at this. 14 years ago today, the NWA TNA weekly pay-per-view taping in Nashville, X-Six-Pac defeats Kid Cash, Tony Mamaluke, AJ Steele, AJ Styles, Jose Maximo, and Joel Maximo in a ladder match to win the vacated X Division Championship, which was a great match.
That was a week or two removed, and X-Pac said this, a week or two removed from him doing a match versus AJ Styles high on crystal meth.
Yeah.
And he did it in a 3-star range. I applaud him. Honestly, I'm not trying to be a jerk. That's amazing that a drug addict can go out there and do a 3.5-star match.
It really is. 34 years ago today, Chicago, Illinois, Nick Bockwinkel defeated Otto Wants to win the AWA Heavyweight Championship. I had to mention Nick Bockwinkel in this episode.
I believe it's pronounced Vance, even though it's with a Vance. W. Okay, sorry.
Very good. Very good.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, yeah.
Just holding out for my German brethren, although he's probably not even German. He's probably like from, you know, Canada.
It's good stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to get that in there because it mentioned Nick Bockwinkel and the Kurt Angle TNA wrestling debut. So let's go ahead and get into what we're here for this week in wrestling news and commentary. Talked about No Mercy. We're going to talk about some of that here at the end of the program. Going to first talk about Alberto Del Rio. So Alberto gets himself stabbed. We talked about this a little bit. Poor guy. What the hell, man?
Well, why isn't there a police report?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he probably got stabbed. Although if I were really being conspiratorial, I would say that those were pictures from someone else who had gotten stabbed. But I'm not going to go that far. I'm just being honest. When he said, I got stabbed, that's why I couldn't make the plane to go to Okay, first of all, Triple H badmouthed him right away. You know, he left with their title. I don't know. Does everyone remember that last year? He was Triple A Universal Champ. I forget what it's called. I think it's – and he just left, and he kept saying, oh, I'm going to show up and do this. Oh, I'm going to show up and do that. And he kept – the dates kept going by, and then he showed up. And he never did show up, you know, because – And look, AAA has some wacky stuff with them. I mean, whoever owns and manages and runs that has had a lot of wrestlers. Conan in particular is quite vocal. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers that don't like their style of management, shall I put it. So it was almost like, okay, so maybe he had to do that. So, you know, when he missed the AAA show, it was like, okay, so there you go, you know. And like I said, I feel like Del Rio's the rumor, and this is a big time allegedly. Okay, I only say allegedly when I don't really know. You know, if I hear someone actually say it themselves about themselves, I know it's true. But allegedly, Triple H wanted to break up Paige and Del Rio because of Del Rio's drug use. Allegedly, okay. So this kind of factors into that, you know, and. When they said he got stabbed, I thought, well, he might have made that up. Then he posted pictures on Instagram, very graphic stab pictures. Did you see them? They're wonderful.
I did see them, yes.
All right, thank you so much for posting them. But he knew. So then they didn't call the police. And Father, you know how good Father is at being a wrestling analyst? He calls the police departments and tries to get – he just wants a police record. They said, we didn't hear anything about that. Obviously, Del Rio, El Patron, is a celebrity. And then the story changed several times, too. But I think he got stabbed. I think he got stabbed. And, you know, really, he should be in AAA. I mean, they need him. You know, they've had Psycho Clown in the top of the card for a year straight now. And he does a lot of, you know, fire table stuff and, you know, stuff with Staple. I mean, it's very ECW. It's like if Balls Mahoney was the WWE champion. It's kind of what it's like. That's the only thing I can think of to put Psycho Clown in the main event. And by the way, I'm saddened to say that Murder Clown has turned on Psycho Clown. But really, why would you trust someone named Murder Clown? I think that's an error, don't you? Right, exactly. So no comment. So Psycho Clown did his main event. He took two straight fire table bumps. Nobody's talking about this, so Christ, I'm going to give him props. It was a hell of a vicious bumps. And, you know, the main event went off and without a hitch. And El Patron Del Rio did fly to Europe, believe it or not, to do a show all taped up. So I think Del Rio, you know, will probably end up, I think he's on the level about it. I just don't think they called the cops, and something really wacky must have happened. Do you have some theories?
I really don't. I mean, look, it is.
I mean, partying with him seems pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's like Chris Jericho in terms of party up. You know, I mean, he really is. You know, Chris Jericho's up for anything. You listen to the Jericho podcast with the rest of the club. You know, Anderson and Gallows, mm-hmm. and sometimes AJ Styles, and your guy. You're like, holy cow, guys! You guys are just drinking like you guys are like 25 again. You know, fresh out of a you know college or something. I don't know. But
yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like a company Christmas party gone bad, you know. But I mean, it's funny and all. But in terms of Del Rio, I think is the same type of guy. I mean, he definitely knows how to party. You know,
so somebody's going to go up to Bruiser Brody in 1982 and go, "See, you're almost 40 now, and you're kind of drinking a lot. Could you calm down the drinking?" See, that's the new generation's kind of weird thing. It's like
it is.
But you need to go out there and be. Drink it. His dad is a hockey player. Okay. He's a rock singer and a wrestler. He should drink vodka all night.
Jericho. And he does drink vodka all night. We know that's his drink.
Bang Tango is probably hanging around him.
Probably.
Hey, I saw on Twitter, they said, how much of your wardrobe do you base off of Yngwie Malmsteen? I think the guy on Twitter was trying to antagonize Jericho and he wrote all of it.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. All of it. That's how much.
Great. Well, Jericho is definitely great, and we wish Alberto Del Rio all the best. I hope that he, you know, he's going to be okay, and he will end up performing at some point, sometime down the road for somebody and some promotion.
Don't get it twisted. I love him. I think he's great.
Me too.
A throwback to an old wrestler. Drinkins, stabbins, holding up promoters, ruining young girls' lives. It's all the stuff like that, you know. Ric Flair would do, you know, not the stuff.
I think that's why Flair likes him so much. He does gush on about him. I like.
Oh, he seems to really enjoy him. Yeah, I really like him. We need to talk about the Halle Berry incident.
Let's talk about the Halle Berry incident. Go for it.
Well, I mean, okay. I guess the question. You know what?
So keep it clean.
The way he put it. Hey, so I got bleeped out last week on our show. There was some censoring. And
we're trying to keep it a little cleaner here on the program.
No, I'm not upset, because I will tell you why. So I'm listening to Ric Flair's show this week, and then he talked about another girl and they bleeped him out. And my wife said, "It's just you and Ric Flair that they bleep out on podcasts. That's the only two people." But yeah, so let's see. Halle Berry, he said he slept with when she was in Atlanta and had divorced Dave Justice. Dave Justice, for you guys who don't know, is a great Major League Baseball player, I think potential or maybe current Hall of Famer for Major League Baseball. And he did play for the Atlanta Braves, which is Rick's home turf. And it would kind of, I don't know, Halle Berry's like top-notch sort of celebrity to get.
Mm-hmm. A-lister.
It's an A-lister, so it makes me think he's lying, and there's no way he could have got Halle Berry. But then I thought about the fact that he's a Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of think it might be true, because her camp had to actually deny it. And when they denied it and say, "We don't know who that is," I really thought that it had happened then. But, I mean, dangerous business being around him.
Okay, well, Let's put into perspective, okay? Halle Berry right now is 50 years old. She was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and Halle is no stranger to professional wrestling. I mean, she knows what time it is in terms of professional wrestling. She probably grew up around it, and she may have had this fantasy all this time.
Well, Space Mountain.
Right.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You've left Dave Justice. I don't know how they got divorced or what happened. I don't want to. But you know, the first thing that someone like that would probably do, especially a huge star like Dave Justice, is to go ahead and like, I know. Oh, I'm gonna go sleep with his favorite wrestler, Ric Flair. That will mess him up.
Of course.
You know, so I think it could have happened. You know, I obviously he's slept with over 3,000 women, he said. So obviously he's, you know, probably contracted a lot of diseases in that course of time. But that being said, I think it's very possible. And good on Conrad for getting some mainstream press. That's really what I wanted to say.
Well, I think that's the best. That's the best thing that could have happened to that podcast, to be quite honest.
So. Well, it wasn't like as awesome as the old one to me. But then with that, they did the smooth operator thing they came up with.
I love that.
And I think that's cool. And then, you know, they have Intruder by from Diver Down by Van Halen, of course, as the intro now. And then I heard the instrumental version of Yankee Rose as background music. So who is ever editing their show is a big Van Halen Diamond Dave mark.
Yes.
It's just something I noticed. I noticed that.
Well, okay. Those are the guys at MLW Radio. And I'll tell you, they are huge marks for that 80s metal. So.
Well, I mean, you know, 80s, you wouldn't. I'm not going to start talking about 80s Van Halen.
Kind of. Well, okay. That's all right. You won't offend me. I'm a huge Van Halen fan. You know this. I like it all.
A Fair Warning is definitely the best album. I mean, I think it's just really, really clever and sort of dark. So that would naturally be the one I like.
Yes.
And I love the song One Foot Out the Door, which nobody talks about. It's a goofy little song, but that's that's like perfect Dave for me. That's like just killer drums. And
it's funny how dark awesome. It is and how tongue-in-cheek Van Halen is. It's a very interesting album for sure, so check it out, kids.
Fair warning,
yes, it has it one of the group, you know, a really awesome artwork. It's very violent, so let's talk about that. So okay, so
pretty good guitar player on it too. Pretty good guitar player.
You mentioned the fact that WWE is going, maybe considering going to a tiered format.
They are.
WWE, and this is by Sean Reuter of Cage Side Seats. And he posts this: WWE via their market research contractor IntelliSurvey had a fan council survey that recently discussed possible tiered pricing plans for the WWE network, right, which is something the company discussed openly on their quarterly investor conference for a while now. What's interesting about these options is that the survey could be available on each of the tiers, and that includes access to independent wrestling content. Some say TNA or Ring of Honor, and you can see here.
I don't know about that.
It says you could watch video clips less than 5 minutes on each plan, and there are four different plans. One's a free plan. The free plan has video clips, I'm sure, from YouTube. It says for 5 minutes each. You have access to the video archive for 30 days after they air, 5 hours per month. Access to a 24/7 stream. You know, which is there. And then also there are commercials for it. You can watch it on all your streaming devices, including game console, laptops, and it's all free.
And let me just point out that they do get money out of that scenario because of all the commercials that they're going to air. So they get a lot of commercial money out of that. And the 5 hours for the old content's kind of interesting because I don't think a lot of people watch 5 hours a month, but I do, obviously.
Yeah, right. Well, plan two, you get... You get the video clips, you get the big four events, you know, which are WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble. Right. You get the weekly NXT pre-recorded episodes. You have access to the video archive after 30 events after they or live events after they air, 24/7 stream on scheduled programming. You have limited commercials. It's on the iPhone and tablet only, and that's $4.99.
Right. Yeah.
The $9.99 program, you get
I think it's all of that what stuff. It is, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is what it is now. So you get NXT takeover events, the weekly NXT episodes, Cruiserweight Classic style episodes, access to all the video archives, all that stuff for $9.99. And then the additional $14.99 plan will give you deluxe perks like a second screen content, invites to exclusive VIP meetups, early ticket access, and small group chats, offline download, Hall of Fame voting, Steve.
Get out of here. They're not going to count your vote.
I know. Watch on all devices. Okay. No commercials whatsoever, which you do get commercials right now with streaming content in the WWE Network for $9.99.
They'll have commercials. They're lying.
Yeah, they're lying. They gotta be, because, you know, because
they always lie.
It doesn't bother me so much, and I get it, you know.
No, it doesn't bother me either.
But, you know, access to independent wrestling content, that's a huge thing. So
we have to discuss that.
Okay, so those are the four different tiers. And then they ask the fans, if these plans were made available, which one would you subscribe to? And, of course, this has a lot to do with recent rumors of the WWE wanting to purchase the TNA library. So, Stephen, what are your thoughts?
Okay, this plays into what we talked about last week. Last week, we're wondering, are they going to get the money for TNA to record? They get the money. Nobody knows where it's from. Whatever. Obviously, with Dixie Carter, they are obviously talking to her for real. Okay? Having the TNA library, you know, TNA is great from 2003 to 2007 or 8. No doubt about it. You got the AJ stuff. You got all kind of people on there that they have now. Actually, Samoa Joe's stuff alone is worth $14.99 a month. I mean, honestly, who's that good? In TNA's glory days. So I think Dixie is trying to sell the tape library to them and then trying to sell the company to someone else. And those things are kind of cross mingling. But I don't think she wants to honestly sell the company at all. I think she's just going to keep holding off and calling their bluff and never frick. Just a side note, if Aero Lux and Billy Corgan were smart, they would just let her go out of business, because she's never going to she's not going to give it up. That's her whole thing. Yeah. I talked to this person, and she's not the type of person who's just going to give it up. Her family is like, take a business, make it successful. You know, they have all this money, but they want to see her do it too. Why? She's not. Do you see what I'm saying? That's where it's all rooted in. So she would never truly sell it for a dinky, like $5-6 million is chump change for her family. You know, that is chump change. Just like me and you getting $2. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no reason to do it. So I do think, though, that she might sell the tape library as a ways to kind of, you know, mess with the other. So anyway, if you have TNA on board, let's say you get that library, and I'm not sure if you can. Okay, so let's say you can't. Okay, so what else do you have to offer with that? You have Ring of Honor, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like they have a pretty good relationship with Ring of Honor, but, you know, okay, you know, Evolve, they have the strong relationship with, really. And I'm trying to think of the other one. And then I don't think Pro Wrestling Guerrilla would get involved. You know, they have a very stable format, and, you know, they sell their DVDs, and they do really good with a non-app platform. But then, you know, of course, back to Ring of Honor, they're on the Fight TV app. So how does that factor into it, too? So Fight TV gets involved. So I don't know at what stage they're at with this whole independent promotion thing, but yeah. It gives me the same vibe it did with the Cruiserweight Classic, where we're going to have all these incredible cruiserweights. And basically, you got Zack Sabre and Kota Ibushi and Mauskar Dorada, who he actually had to sign, and Cedric was out there, and then a bunch of other guys. You know, I don't feel like they're really going to fulfill our dreams of this $14.99 tier.
You know, I think part of what the WWE, they want to control all the content, but they also need to keep their eye on the prize for generating cash flow.
Right. And
providing a service that has a lot of value for people. So what you do is you work out a way to syndicate programs and be a first run syndicator, much like, you know, I've worked out some deals in syndication before.
Right.
And it can be very simple. You just make an added value to those that are involved. And what happens to that is the partners that they work with oftentimes become bigger players, because you have more eyeballs on the product. You have different things. They can sell their merchandise more. I mean, there are a lot of pluses to added these type of syndication deals, which are added value. They don't necessarily run or control that media, but they're getting extra content for their viewership. They can charge more for it to help the other, you know, to help the other program or the other promotion. So it is possible, you know, for them to do that. But, you know, easy come, easy go. As easy as it is to syndicate, they also have to continually write up contractual deals. And those can be very interesting and a little bit sticky, because after a couple years, if they decide not to continue syndicating on the WWE Network, then what happens?
Correct. And, you know, what on the flip side, what does Ring of Honor do when they sell their tape library? And, you know, it's just to sell the tape library. It's not first run stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, here comes a big match. Here comes Bobby Fish. Let's go to the video package. Are you allowed to show that stuff that they own now?
It depends.
Probably not, right?
It depends on how the contract is structured now.
They could do like those old E! Shows where they show the same two clips of Corey Feldman over and over again for the because they don't have any footage.
It could.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
And then they showed in slow motion him dancing.
Yeah, exactly. It's
you
the
know,
same.
I,
yeah,
they it's a have weird
few clips. Yeah,
it's a weird analogy, but I swear I'm right.
No, but you're it's true. You know, I mean, they'll go to archival footage that they actually have rights to, or they own, or they can only afford so many rights.
Right.
It's a very tangled, you know, right. situation when it comes to that stuff. But once again, it's nothing that can't be overcome, because it just has to deal with the verbiage in the contracts. But let me ask you this: would you pay $14.99 for this stuff that you can already get online? You would okay. You would,
Because I just always give them money. I just give them money.
Right now.
And always have. 20 years gone now. I've given them my money, my hard-earned money.
There are a couple things to this plan for, the $14.99 plan that intrigued me, other than the fact that we talked about the independent wrestling content such as TNA and Ring of Honor, which, by the way, they do specifically mention on this questionnaire.
Yes.
They do. They do specifically mention that. But
oh, no, they're talking to both. They really are.
Yeah. And it's legit. And that's cool. That's cool. I mean, hey, look, with that money, that influx of money coming in from a syndication deal with WWE, they could really help push their product to another level in terms of production quality. But how about this? Okay. I like this offline content download, which is really, really nice, especially for me because I do travel quite often. The fact that I can take a pay-per-view and download it directly to my phone and then watch it at my leisure without being connected to the internet means I can have several hours worth of wrestling where I don't have to, you know, I can stream it in my, I can play it in my car without Wi-Fi, which is great. So I can listen to the commentary and check out all that stuff and listen to podcasts like JBL's, the sit down interviews and things like that, and listen to them in the car, which is something I've been wanting to do forever. You know?
Yeah. Like when I'm talking to you and you're in like a weird place in Indiana and your phone reception breaks up.
Yep,
you're not going to be able to watch the pay-per-view while driving like you like to.
Oh, no. I'm not watching while I'm driving.
But King of the Ring 95, Mabel's getting pushed. Ah!
Well, there's a lot of off the road. But there's a lot of times that content, you know, and some of that classic content like the Legends of Wrestling panels and things like that, that I like to listen to.
Oh, it's great.
Simply like to listen to. And I think that would be a really cool thing to have as part of that is audio only, which would be really cool. But the offline content download, I think, does have its perks. But, you know, we'll just have to see. I mean, right now, as it is, the WWE Network has a lot of content and I can't possibly digest it all, but I do like that. And the fact that, you know, the offline content download, I can listen to, you know, some old NWA stuff. Sometimes I just like listening to the commentary, you know, and I'm sorry, that's just the way I feel about it. I mean, I like listening to it, even though I can't watch it. I like listening to it.
So. Well, the NWA shows, you can literally just hear the promos and be amazed at how good the show is. I would pay. You're asking me about if I'd pay $14.99. Yeah. I'd probably pay $14.99 if it was an app for NWA shows. I'm not joking at all.
You're giving him too much now. You could, you know, but
it is like if they were like it's $149.99. I'm like, well, I guess I could. Like I would probably pay it.
He'd be working three jobs instead of two.
Yeah, I get another job.
Just to pay for the network.
Yeah. Well, I never watch it.
It is very interesting stuff indeed to see. So so as we move along, you know, we still are going to talk about No Mercy, but let's talk about the TNA really quick. TNA had a lot of interesting stuff happen over the course of the past few weeks. You know, they did have their Bound for Glory pay-per-view, which was pretty damn good. All things considered, you know, it was okay.
Well, and the Hardys match. So, I mean, of course it's going to, I mean, the Hardys are like so far beyond anything they do. It's like, it's so weird.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. And then the following week, they had interesting stuff go on. You know, Gail Kim gets jumped by Maria and her goon squad. You know, we have the introduction of Cody and Brandi Rhodes, which is interesting. It's an interesting way to get around not being called Cody Rhodes, is simply have Cody and Brandi Rhodes come out so that you could say, oh, by the way, here's Cody and Brandi Rhodes. So,
yeah, when will WWE stop bullying and abusing that family is really what you want to ask yourself.
I don't think, from my understanding, it's something that Cody is doing to be kind.
No.
But did they offer him to give him like a cease and desist using this trademark name? They did.
He cannot say Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
Nope. We own that. We own your daddy's dead body.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. How about this? All the champions come out.
Sorry, guys. Night. I got dark.
You got dark.
But this company is dark to me, the inner management sometimes. And I feel compelled to tell people some of this weird stuff that really gives me the creep sometimes. And I'm sorry, but that's on them. Mm. I don't say creepy stuff about New Japan.
Yeah, well. You had the debut of TNA's Team X Gold, which was great. Bobby Lashley losing his championship to, get this, we have a new TNA champion, and I never thought I would say it. Eddie Edwards is a new champion.
More bad decision making.
I mean, wow, I couldn't believe it. You know what happened there? You know,
I don't know. I mean, Lashley's. That's really the only guy that could be champ. I guess Matt Hardy could be the champion, although he doesn't need a belt. He doesn't need anything.
No, he doesn't. I mean, with the championship roll call was exceptional, I thought, because it did bring out, you know, here are the faces of this company. Who knows, you know, how it's going to be moving forward. You know, you had, and by the way, for the first time, let me mention that both cruiserweight champions on both shows are Filipino.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say
it, right? You had Zema.
Well, that was definitely the second best match of the show.
Right.
I mean, it was. They really should have been the third match, and then the Hardys match should have closed it, and then Lashley should have been second to last, and he should have won. If you'd have put it like that, I would say it was an okay pay-per-view.
Well, Lashley did win on the pay-per-view. He just lost.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, he lost. Yeah. It's not in the tapings. I'm sorry.
I'm crossing the stream. Sorry about that.
No. It's fine.
You know, but just trying to round up everything that had gone on. You know, you had a decent pay-per-view. A lot of the faces went over until the very end. You had the TNA champion Bobby Lashley retain against EC3. EC3 the following night moves on into some kind of interesting program with Eli Drake in a talk show, which is great because Eli Drake in hosting a talk show is actually really good.
It's cute. I mean,
yeah, it's cute. It's fine. You know, all this stuff happened, you know, on the following thing, and then you still have the Hardys doing excellent work.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that and the fact that you have a guy from the Wolves, Eddie Edwards, as a TNA wrestling champion? That's interesting news, I think.
All right. I'll start with the Hardys because I thought it was the best thing in the show by far. The opener was really good. Like I said, I am happy for you that the Filipino community is heavily represented with cruiserweight titles. I felt the same way when they've never had a champion from Louisiana. Anyway, why would you want to do that?
Oh, man.
And Steve Williams is not from Louisiana, but he did live there. Poor guy. So that's Dr. Death, Steve Williams. But, that match was solid, okay? And those guys are all really good in that division. They don't properly showcase them sometimes. The Hardys match, man, they're just so funny. I mean, they're so clever. You know, I don't know what these guys are smoking, but I need to get some of it because they're just so creative.
Yeah, and Rebe on the piano, that's really good. You're right. She is good.
Well, okay, so I'm a musician like you, and I'm like, okay, so this will be kind of silly looking. She's going to mime, lip sync, whatever you want to call it, the piano. And I was watching her fingerings, and I'm like, no, she's definitely playing that. Mm. You know, she definitely knows how to play, and the arpeggios looked correct. So that was impressive. And then Matt comes out. He was very funny. And then Jeff came out and sang his song. It's like, wow.
Obsolete, delete.
You know, that's the thing about the Mark community. Oh, this match is 4.5 stars. They had me with the intro. You know, really, if you're really good, you have them with the intro. Regal said that.
Yeah, you sound like Jason Powell. Yeah, but it's true.
It's you have them with the intro. You can win them over by the end, okay, like Osprey and Ricochet did. But in the intro, you know, look at Nakamura, if you want to talk about a guy with five-star matches, his intro, you already got. You're already ready for it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So the match was, you know, if I had to rate the match, I wouldn't say it was technically that fantastic. But Jeff Hardy, to me, was the real star of it. He basically had four characters. He had his newer, obsolete Jeff Hardy character. He went into a newer character called Itchweed with his goggles.
Imagine that.
And that was really I know what that means. And he was really funny, and the pumpkins and
smashing pumpkins, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was great.
Yeah. Never wrote a transcendent album like Jane's Addiction, but ripped it off.
Here we go again.
I don't care. I listened back to it. I was listening to the show in the car, and when he's right, you know, talking about myself, which is typical.
So, he's a mark for himself, y'all. Right.
Then he turned into Willow of the Wisp, who I've been a mark for ever since I first saw the old clips from Omega from, I guess, 94 or 95. And I saw his bizarre promo in the woods or whatever with his mask. I've always been a Willow of the Wisp mark. And the crowd popped for him, and him and Crazy Steve together. That I would actually like to see Will of the Wisp against Crazy Steve in a singles match. I think that'd be kind of cool. And great job, by the way, to get over the decay. You know, they got a great entrance song. I can't believe I'm saying that. And I don't know how they get the rights to use that, by the way.
Oh, but he's got all kinds of
connection. Well, he's on tour with them, blah, 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 blah. So whatever. So they had that show in Nashville earlier this year. I was like, does anybody go to that? They had that sucker filled up. Pumpkins and Marilyn Manson in 2016. Yeah. Anyway, and then he turned into more
Nashville.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He turned into more normal Jeff Hardy by the end, and they got that, and he did the ladder bump. So really an all-star performance from Jeff here. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the Decay, but they're definitely the second best act on the show. And kudos to get over Rosemary big. They really got her over now. You know, if she goes back into the women's division, she's going to be more over than anybody. Okay. Yeah. And she's doing matches with guys, and it's, you know, she took a great table bump. You know, I don't think there's anything offensive or dangerous about her doing matches with guys, because when you take a table bump from a turn from the apron like that, you take your own bump. You can watch it in slow motion. Her legs pivot down. She jumps backwards. Okay. Yep. So people don't need to get so upset about that. You know, these women want to – I say it every week, and I'm going to keep – if these women want to be violent, let them do what they want. You know, don't be a chauvinist and say, oh, you're going to get hurt. If Sasha Banks wants to fall on her head from a Frankensteiner, let her do it.
Yeah,
okay? That's what's going on. That's her decision.
That's true. And then the other thing, too, is that do they have to take that bump? If they do take the bump, they have to do it well and not just haphazardly do it. That's what takes us out of it, is the fact that they do it, you know, seemingly with reckless abandon. They try to be safe, but you know, stuff happens where things go wrong, and it does take people out of it if it's not executed properly and it looks like it hurts, you know.
Well, I mean, they do have to do the bump if they want a higher star rating from me. Sorry, I'm kidding, of course.
No, you're not, but it's true.
You know, haphazard bumps look great. I mean, my whole Bible of great matches is Stan Hansen versus Misawa, Stan Hansen versus Kobashi, and or Kawada. You know, those matches look like they're real because he's acting extemporaneously, you know, and he doesn't know what he's going to – he explained it. He didn't know what he was going to do. He does something very violent and stiff to the other person. Their reaction is extemporaneous too because it's real. And that's how you make it look real. So I like botched bumps.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, if you look at – I do too because
– I convinced you. Great.
No, it's true. Well, you know, I'll play devil's advocate. Hey, look, I understand and I like the direction that TNA is going. They're trying some new things.
Absolutely. They're going in a great direction.
They're going in a great direction. You know, the Impact Grand Championship belt looks good. I think the other thing about the way to get to the Grand Championship and fighting rounds was also kind of innovative. It was more of an athletic competition, and I get it. You know, they're at least trying. They're at least trying, and for that, I have respect.
Yeah.
I like I said, I think this past week on Impact, I thought the Gail Kim thing was good. You know, you've got basically their version of the women NWO, you know, led by Lita, for heaven's sake, now I'm having a brain fart. But anyway,
Maria,
and basically beating the hell out of Gail Kim. So they're really making Gail to be a super face. You've got confrontation between, you know, the different heads of state. You've got the, you know, Lashley, who's supposed to be going off and doing the MMA thing again, which is one reason why he dropped the belt. But then you see it open up, you know, in terms of the championship with the Damian Sandow, Aaron Rex. You've got Cody in there. You've got, you know, you still have Eli Drake and EC3 in the mix, apparently. So it's going to be very good, and I am intrigued. The promo that Eli Drake and EC3 cut on that little talk show, I thought was, you know, very good. I thought it was good. It wasn't on the level of, let's say, Ms. Daniel Bryan, but I understand that's what they were going for, right? You're looking for that type of, you know, shoot work.
Try again.
Video. Let's try again. But you know what? It was still entertaining. It's something they have not done. So
can you believe the Miz has had the only transcendent moment of SmackDown?
You know what? Once again, when given the opportunity, it is hard to believe, but if given the opportunity and you let these workers work and they know how to work, he's proven it, then so be it. You know, and granted, it takes two to tango. Daniel Bryan was just as in over it as possible trying to get the Miz over.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, you know, Bryan doesn't have the promo skills of Miz. That's why that promo came off like it did, because he didn't have what it took to come back on him.
No,
and he did the walkout. You know, the more I think about that promo as the weeks go by, the more I think it was really brilliant.
It was. I mean, I've never seen replayed a promo so much in my life, just to look at the body language and the inflection in the voice and watch it versus listening to it. And there's so many different things about it, which is super cool. I know that we're nearing the end of the program.
Right.
I've got to be cognizant of your time. So let's go ahead and talk about No Mercy. It is on the WWE Network tonight. You can check it out, WWE Network. We have links to it at ProWrestlingCast.com. Here is some quick stuff to talk about. You have the kickoff match, Swagger versus Corbin. Tell us whose dog is in the hunt for this. Is this going to be building Jack Swagger coming up from obscurity once again, switching and going into SmackDown versus Baron Corbin? I believe this match will end up being either a no contest or to be continued somehow, because the two of them are going to prove their dominance in the mid-card. What do you think?
If they push Jack Swagger one more damn time, if they push him one more damn time, I swear. That's what I got to say about that, man.
Wow, you don't want to even pick a dog in the hunt here.
He needs to get squashed. They need to fire him. He needs to go away.
Why do you dislike him so much?
Tell me what you're going to do with him now to give me one angle that where he would be over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
you helped prove my point. No, you're literally like, what? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's been around too long. He got a bad title push. They've been squashing him for years. He's done. He might as well just go do something else for a living. Really, you know. More fun. You know?
I have a sneaking suspicion he's keeping the bench warm. He's got a spot there for now. WWE superstars material for sure. However, you know, he's keeping the bench warm for somebody that may be moving up from NXT. Hopefully sooner than later. They need to figure, as I said before, they need to figure out what they need to do with NXT. They need some star power quickly.
It doesn't matter. They blow everything now. They're just so on a downward trend. They have no idea what to do with anything whatsoever. Any decision they make is incorrect.
Now they want to have their cake and eat it too, Stephen. That's a point with NXT. They want to have marquee names to headline the touring brand, to help train people. But the problem is that, you know.
Yeah. And then 1 week we'll go, wow, Raw did a 0.62 this week.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what's going
to
happen.
What's more important, you know? So we'll get back to that discussion later. Nikki Bella versus Carmella. I would say Carmella goes over because they need to build her up. Nikki doesn't necessarily need the win. Carmella does in order to cement her as being a badass on the women's roster. Your thoughts?
They'll probably give Nikki a win because of that stupid show she has, and the crowd will literally boo her for winning even though she's a face, is my prediction. Mm. I bet I'm dead on that one.
Okay. SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss. There's rumors going around that Becky Lynch has been injured.
I heard that. Hold on. Let's see if Father has anything to say. I'm going. Okay. This is one time where I think we should look this up because I heard this too. Who would her replacement be?
I don't know.
Are we woefully unprepared for this match?
You don't know.
Becky Lynch off No Mercy.
She is off.
That's what Meltzer says.
That's a damn shame. That is a damn shame. You know,
should I just read the Observer on the show? I mean, we're kind of building to that eventually happening on this show, right? undisclosed injury, according to source close to the situation. Set to defend. I've said it was over. They might just cut the match.
Yeah, they may. They may cut the match.
Poor little Becky.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I like Becky a lot. So here we are. Maybe they'll just increase the time given to Heath Slater and Rhino. Defending the tag team belts versus the newly minted heelish Uso brothers. New music, new ring attire. I'm digging it. Versus the tag team championships. Once again, I think Heath Slater and Rhino are going to hold on to the belts until for the remainder of the year. I think
Usos take it and start another era of bad decision making where the Usos are the heel champions and they slowly build American Alpha up again, which makes no damn sense. And they've botched the tag title scenario so badly that they had to put the belt on Heath Slater, who is another guy who came up from under kind of like The Miz and made something. At the very least, they're going with what the crowd is reacting to at SmackDown, which actually gives me some faith in them what to do it. I think they put the belt on Slater and Rhino to kill their heat, kind of like when they put the belt on Hogan in 2002 to kill his heat, which worked magnificently. Yeah. But, you know, and I think the Usos take it, and they're the heels, and they have rematches with them, and then American Alpha comes in, and American Alpha, blah, 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 blah. That's where they're going towards. And this does not look like a fun tag team picture for me. They've boxed American Alpha, buddy.
Well, I think they're trying to make sure they have an organic rise instead of just simply shotgunning them, and I get that. But the key is American Alpha are going to be champions at some point. I just don't think that they need to be champions yet, because once they have something good in Slater and Rhino, I believe, and I'm hoping that the Rhino and Slater and Usos continue on at least for the end of the year until and firmly establish that Heath Slater and Rhino are going to be okay. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, the tag titles, if you play hot potato with it too quickly, the tag titles become irrelevant.
Right.
So well,
maybe they already are.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. Speaking of something that has definitely gained relevance is the Intercontinental Championship. Miz's never-ending reign of the longest Intercontinental Champion of modern history continues versus Dolph Ziggler in a match in which if Dolph loses, he will walk away from the business. In other words, it is a retirement versus title match. And the build, I believe, has been very good for this particular match.
Yeah.
And I believe Dolph Ziggler will end up taking the title. You know, a lot of people are thinking that Dolph is going to go ahead and retire and become an agent and continue on with his machinations of becoming a stand-up comedian and actor.
Oh,
what are your thoughts on that?
He's not funny and he can't act. He would probably be a bad agent because he's so terrible at wrestling.
Oh, Lord.
So let's see. He's supposed to be like Shawn Michaels, right? So where's his psychology like Shawn Michaels? Where's his selling of important outside factors of the match besides the moves like Shawn Michaels? Where's the five-star matches at WrestleMania like Shawn Michaels? Where's the heel character like 1997 Shawn Michaels? Where's the heel character like 1992 Shawn Michaels? Where's the tag team with Marty Jannetty like Shawn Michaels? Where's the come from behind babyface like the later career of Shawn Michaels? You know what he does like Shawn Michaels? He has Shawn Michaels' pants.
And boots.
Guy's got on a pair of pants and I'm supposed to get excited? I hate him. I hope he loses the match and is fired and finds something else to do for a living. Something more fun.
You know, everybody else is very high on his work, it seems. But
Marks.
Ric Flair, you're calling Ric Flair Mark for Dolph Ziggler?
Ric Flair says anything that company wants him to say. He's like a political – he's like the press secretary for the White House is like Ric Flair for WWE. Oh, yeah, Dolph looks good this week. Like, well, didn't you just bomb Sierra? No. We're good with Russia. You know, that's the same thing. He just says whatever. He's a company shill. That's why he should have stayed in that position in 2008. And he left after the retirement, and then he was going to do that, and then he wanted to make more money, and then he does this. The guy's a mess.
Okay. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. I really don't give a damn, to be quite honest.
Keep jobbing Bray Wyatt until he becomes Barry Horowitz's son. Okay? That's fine with me. That's Barry Horowitz's son. He'll never be anything. They've totally destroyed him. He has been destroyed. He is destroyed. He is not a scary Louisiana person. A scary Louisiana person looks like me, okay? He is not scary. He does not know how to do voodoo black magic. His beard is not cool. He's a jack-off. Can I say that?
Well, they made him look like one for sure.
Well, you know, I'm not blaming Husky Harris or Mike Rotunda, whatever his name is.
Mike Rotunda's kid. You know, IRS was a jobber, folks. Remember that.
IRS had tag titles, yeah. And he had a Royal Rumble big match with Undertaker where he jobbed. But I mean, they pushed him more than this guy, actually.
Maybe he should pay his taxes.
So Randy Orton will hit the RKO and get a triumphant victory. Okay, let's push Randy Orton again. God.
Yeah, Randy Orton doesn't need it. Bray Wyatt does, desperately. Desperately.
They should have Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler in a bungee jump match. Book it.
The last but not least, world champion AJ Styles in a triple threat match. Dean Ambrose, John Cena for the world championship of the world. Let's go ahead and say.
Of what world? The SmackDown world?
The SmackDown Universal Championship.
What a world. What a world we live in SmackDown.
Yeah, the belt that actually has history. So
yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah, so AJ Styles defeating both. John Cena rides off into the sunset for another few months doing whatever kind of reality shows he's doing. Dean Ambrose goes back, and I think ultimately they want to have AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, you know, at some point.
Hootie-hoo. Hootie-hoo is what I have to say. So what, Dean Ambrose is going to go feud with is Ambrose going to feud with Wyatt after this and beat Wyatt 16 or 17 times to get his heat back? He has no heat.
Who knows?
Killed him after he had that match where they had the plant or whatever up in the air, or whatever that thing was. And there was a mop. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think a lot of things hinge on the fact of who wins in the Intercontinental Championship, because I think Miz ultimately, you know, needs to be catapulted in the main event.
Miz AJ with promos and build up would actually. That sounds pretty good. That's all I can think of. They don't have a roster. They have nothing. I can't believe that. They better hope that Becky Lynch isn't real hurt because, man, this pay-per-view does not sound fun. I wish they would stop with the pay-per-view crap. It's worse. It's actually worse than I thought it was going to be when we first talked about it a couple of months ago. It's actually much worse because it's like I'm like, oh, come on. I wanted to watch the PBA tour. You know, I want to see Jason Belmonte. Bowl, and now I got to watch Becky Balboa, her replacement, against who is it? Candice Del Rey. I can't keep up anymore. There's so many people that aren't over on this show that it's hard for me to keep.
It's going to be against Alexa Bliss, my girl Alexa Bliss,
who we fully support on this show.
We do fully support Alexa Bliss. I like Alexa Bliss. Don't. I'm taking your tagline out. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted, Jack.
I don't know why
I talk like somebody from 1972 from Louisiana is how I
who's
talk.
Who's going over in the championship match, Steven?
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. Okay.
Clean as a whistle over John Cena. Again, oh my God, another clean pinfall for John Cena. Now beating John Cena won't matter anymore. Good job. you know, if I didn't think any better, I thought somebody was, there was some sort of subterfuge to destroy WWE. Honestly, it's that bad.
So definitely give that a shot. Take a look at No Mercy tonight, and we will come back next week for our picks. We're only a few hours away. Hopefully the show will get up soon so you can listen in on our picks.
All these picks are going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter when you listen to it. What matters is my hate and vitriol.
Yes.
Towards the product.
Okay. So having said that, we're gonna bounce into our promo of the week. You know what? Maybe we should pry into what do you want to do for a promo? Because otherwise, you
Jake
know,
the Snake.
You want to do a Jake the Snake Roberts promo?
Yeah. You know why I want to do one? And I only have 14 seconds. Jake the Snake cutting a promo and then walk into the ring with a snake without doing one move is 95%. More over than anyone in the last 10 years of their roster.
Okay. Well, very good.
99%. Sorry.
All right. Very good. We're going to go ahead and play some Jake the Snake classic promo from the man himself, resurrected for your pleasure. So be listening to that. Steven, where can people listen and pick up on what you're throwing down on the internet?
Dr. Death Mark on Twitter. And I just want to say Scary Gary Skidmore for life.
All right. Check us out. P Wrestling Cast on the Twitter machine. You can also check us out. Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, ProWrestlingCast.com for all of our shopping links. Thanks to our sponsors for today's show, Amazon, and our Amazon link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, Magical Journeys Vacations as well. We've got so many other shopping links for WWE Network and HighSpots.com. You need to check that out all there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Like and subscribe to our show. You can check us out on YouTube. Give us that thumbs up so you get all the visuals as well as all the great audio on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and so many others. And big thanks to our syndication partners, We Be Geeks, the We Be Geeks podcast networks at WeBeGeeks.net. So in the meantime, thank you so much. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you after No Mercy.
Oh. Ever.
No mercy.
No mercy for me, that's for sure.
Nick Bockwinkel in this episode.
For life.
Promo of the week.
Standing by right now, Mean Gene Okerlund, and he has with him as his guest, I believe, Jake the Snake Roberts. Take it, Gene.
All right, I'm anxiously waiting to talk to Jake the Snake Roberts. He has shocked the wrestling world tonight. He's going to be meeting the Intercontinental Champion of the World, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, along with his lovely manager, Elizabeth... Good God, Roberts, what are you trying to
turn your back to me, huh? Turn your back to me again, fool.
Turn your back. Get that snake.
You know, some people reach out and shake my hands, but very few people shake them the second time. You know what I'm talking about, Gene? Nobody wants to trust a snake. I'm telling you something. You know, people out there, I shook the world. They all made a noise whenever I challenged the Macho Man. But you see, what it is how do you know where I'm headed? How can you have any idea of where I'm headed? Well, you don't know where I've been. You know, some people are content in life, sitting in their own stinking little hometown backyards, playing in a sandbox, waiting for life to bring them something by.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, well, I'm not that kind of man. You see, I'm not content with that. I'm going to reach out there and take what I want. Just like Halley's Comet running through here, ain't nobody stopping me. So, Macho Man, tomorrow morning when they're dry cleaning your hair, you think back. I'm the one your mother always warned you about.
I don't think the Macho Man has ever quite had a title defense like this against Jake the Snake Roberts. Vince, back to you out of the arena.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.